Psalm 71. Psalm 71. At what age does someone become elderly? A senior citizen. I had just turned 50, and my wife and I went into a restaurant, and they offered me a senior discount. You talk about a blow. I said, how old do you think I am? Oh, 50. Oh, so senior citizens get a discount at 50. I'll take it. So, you know, it's great. But when is it that you start keeping your age secret? And why is that? I never have understood that. Why do you keep your age a secret? Is it when you get the prefix grand? Like grandma? I read this little story about the grandson asking his grandfather how old he was, and he teasingly replied, I'm not sure. He says, well, look in your underwear, Grandpa. Mine says I'm 4. Do I have your attention? Why does being on fire for God always apply just to the young people? But I want to read Psalm 71 first. And as I read this psalm, I want you to pick up on age as it's mentioned in this psalm. Psalm 71, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go on the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Three words I want you to think of tonight. The first word is insurance. Insurance. I'm not asking you tonight if you have life insurance, term, whole, universal, or whatever, but I want you to think of insurance, and here's the insurance I want to talk to you about. That a senior will be a saint. How can it be insured that a senior will be a saint? My dad was a life insurance salesman. And so when I was 23 years old, he made me buy a life policy. I still have that policy. And I'm thankful he made me buy it. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what will ensure that you are living for the Lord in old age. Now, see, kids, this is what I'm talking to you. How can you be sure that when you get to be older, you're going to be serving the Lord? How? How can you make sure about that? And just being beyond just being a Christian, but being a dedicated, on fire Christian. Just because something is old-fashioned doesn't necessarily mean it's right. And in the same vein, old age does not necessarily make someone a saint. Does the name Bernie Sanders ring a bell? You're not automatically worthy of emulation and respect just because you're old. Spurgeon heard a preacher refer to an elderly man in the audience by saying, "I wonder whether those gray hairs are a crown of glory or a fool's cap. They are one or the other." And indeed, a man, an elderly man who lives his life in disobedience, has gray hairs, which are nothing but a fool's cap. But a consecrated man, a dedicated man, has a crown of glory. Proverbs 16:31, "The hoary or the gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Wisdom comes with age, but the right kind of wisdom comes with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. "A good understanding have all they that do his commandments," Psalm 111 and verse 10. But there's other things that come with old age. Stubbornness. Being stuck in compromise. So I have an insurance policy I'd like to show you tonight. It doesn't cost you money. It costs you your life. And this life insurance policy is called discipleship. Two premiums. Here's the first one, preparation. Obviously, this is a topical message tonight. So I'm going to be referencing a number of scriptures here in just a moment. Here's the first premium, preparation. Some people retire from the work of the Lord while they're in their teen years. Some people retire from the work of the Lord when they're in their 20s or in their 30s. They may have been brought up in a good church, but you know, they get to the point where they say, "You know what, it's time for me to spread my wings and get out there and do my own thing." And so they retire and they say, "Well, one day I'm going to get on fire for God. One day." How many times have you heard that? One day. If not now, surely not then. Living for God, kids, doesn't suddenly start when you get old. Living for God starts, can anybody help me? Right now. Right now. And not just the little ones, but let's get into the middle age and into the older. It starts right now. And that decision can be made even if you're in your 70s. Train up a child on the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. You prepare the child in the walk of life. Establish today, you are establishing today what he's going to be when he's old. Set him on the path that will affect him for a lifetime. Now that's a proverb, it's not a guarantee. But set him on the right path by a couple of things. Number one, by what you say, and secondly, by what you do. That's the responsibility of the parent. You can tell a child that church attendance is important, but what you do says more. You Sunday school teachers, as you're teaching these little kids, you can tell them that it is important, but what you do is more important. You can say to children that prayer is vital, but when you miss prayer meeting yourself, you've said it all. It's important that we not only say, but that we do. Psalm 71:17. Look at that verse again. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. From my youth. It is so important that young people are reached for the Lord. Two premiums: preparation, and secondly is separation. This is what God constantly commanded his people. You either be separated from sin, or your sin will separate you from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Separated from is sanctification. Separated to is dedication. Who are you separated from? Okay, now, all of you can look at me, but I'm still speaking to the little kids. I appreciate you looking right at me. That's good. Here's a verse. It's Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, of them that keep thy precepts. Who should be your best friends? It should be those who live for the Lord. You befriend somebody who is not living for the Lord, and he's going to influence you. She's going to influence you. And that's a good verse for you to memorize. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, of all them that keep thy precepts. Now, you say, well, I'm glad you're talking to the kids. Now I want to talk to the rest of you. Have you ever determined that in your life, that I am a companion of all them that fear thee, of them that keep thy precepts? Separation from, so that I can be separated unto. It is possible to have a good beginning, to live for the Lord until you are old. And then when you're old, to abandon the principles of separation. I'm thinking of a very, very wise man in the Bible. And this is said of him in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 26. Among many nations, there was no king like him who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, and it goes on to mention one problem that this king by the name of Solomon had. Nevertheless, he had a problem with separation. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. He had a problem with separation. Go with me to 1 Kings 11. And I want you to see this. I could read it to you because I have it written down in my notes, but I want you to see it. 1 Kings chapter 11. Talking about King Solomon. I say again, it is possible for you to live for the Lord, and then when you're old, to abandon the principle, the doctrine, I should say, of separation. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was, out loud please, when he was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. This happened, ladies and gentlemen, when he was old. And it may not be wives, plural, that turn your heart from God, but there are many other things a person can be married to that will turn you from God. It can be your friends, it can be your wealth, it can be your free time that can turn you from God. You probably went back to Psalm 71. That's good. Keep your finger there. But let's also go to Psalm 92. I'm was reading this passage just a few weeks ago, and every time I read it, it stops me. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit. When? These are the righteous. These are the ones who are growing in the Lord. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord who are flourishing. And you know what? When they get old, they are still bringing forth fruit. They shall be fat and flourishing. I'm not talking about your weight, ladies. It's talking about there. In fact, it's literally, they will be full of sap. And I want you to make sure you understand that too. It's talking about a very lively tree. Full of sap and still very green. When? In their old age. Even in his old age, he is still yielding fruit and still green and full of sap. What's the insurance for that? The insurance is preparation and separation. You prepare that way, and you live a life of separation unto God. That's the insurance. So that's the first word I want you to get is insurance. Here's the second word. Inclination. What are you inclined to do? What way are you leaning? What is the direction you're taking? Okay, and here's some things I want to talk to you about when I think of the word inclination. Here's the word, or here's the phrase, it's the inclination to retire. Now, this is kind of interesting. I'm going to give you some synonyms for the word retire. You ready? All you have to do is go to a thesaurus. Open it up, and here's the synonyms for retire. You ready? Quit. And tell me if these are the words that ought to be in a Christian's vocabulary in his life. Quit, resign, leave, withdraw, abdicate, pull out, depart, vacate, go away, withdraw, absent oneself, leave, step out, exit, vanish. Here's synonyms for the word retirement. The previous ones were for retire. Here's retirement, retreat, withdrawal, pull out, pull back, evacuation, flight, inactivity, relaxation, rest, disengagement, leisure, abdication, departure, seclusion. There's some words in there that I think ought to take place in retirement. For example, relaxation and rest after having worked so hard. So I am not entirely condemning retirement. It is wise to set money aside. My wife and I are having to look at that very seriously. Having surrendered Social Security in order to plant a church. I am not condemning retirement. But what I am wanting us to see is what it ought to consist of. I want you to go to Luke chapter 12. I want you to see what sounds like an American's retirement plan. Luke 12, 19. Because this verse sounds like an American's retirement plan. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I wonder what Jesus would think about that. Well, we know. Look at verses 20 and 21. But God said unto him, thou, out loud please, you fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. There's nothing wrong with laying up treasure for yourself, but the problem is if you're not rich toward God. In so doing, what brought about the subject in this passage of possessions in the first place. Do you know what it was? Two brothers were wrangling over their inheritance. They were arguing about inheritance, that which man left behind when he died. You see, go back to verse 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I have been to a funeral. I've gone to a funeral where I heard somebody say these very words. My dad won because he had the most toys when he died. What would God say to him? Thou fool. This is the parable. Your Bible might even have the little subtitle. This is the parable of the rich. It's the rich fool. It's the parable of the rich fool. Spend all of your life looking forward to retirement, and then you die prematurely. And that's what I'm thinking about, even as I'm, you know, thinking about retirement and setting aside. It's like, you know, why not take this money and give it to missions or something right now? I'm not saying that's what we should do, but that's the struggle. And then the question is, then whose shall those things be? Jesus asks in verse 20. Whose things will they be? And that's the whole point that Solomon brings up in the book of Ecclesiastes. I had everything I wanted, and then I began to think, somebody's going to come after me and is going to take everything that I've earned, and he's going to be an idiot. You know what a good illustration of that is? We've got our founding forefathers of this country who established a country based upon biblical principles, based upon a good constitution, and they left it to a bunch of idiots to take and to abuse and to destroy what they provided for. And folks, that's not just happening. It happens in churches where somebody comes in, a pastor comes in, and he establishes a church based upon biblical foundations, and he preaches God's word, and then he either leaves, is called to another ministry, retires, or dies. Somebody else comes in, and what happens? And Solomon said, this is frustrating. I read this little quote. I've got a Franklin planner. You know what a Franklin planner is. And every day it has quotes. And so I like to read those quotes every day. Here's one I read some time ago. Here's a test to find whether your mission on earth is finished. If you're alive, it isn't. And yet sometimes retirement, well, I'm done. I'm pulling out. This is it. That may be in your job, and I commend you for that. But you know, as a Christian, you never retire. Never. And then one I just read yesterday by E.T. Trigg, I have no idea. He said this, the man who has accomplished all that he thinks worthwhile has begun to die. And somehow we today find Philippians 2:21 is acceptable in retirement. You know what Philippians 2:21 says? It says this, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. So the inclination of the senior to retire. Here's my exhortation. It's not what you retire from. I think you do need to retire from. You can't keep working. I tell you, I marvel at this man right over here, Marvin Fries. How old are you, brother? Still working. Still working. But when you retire, it's not necessarily what you retire from, because he deserves to retire, man. But it's what you retire to. And maybe if we could just come up with a new word, instead of retire, how about refire? Not in your job, but Go back to Psalm 71 and let's look at verse 18. Verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. And here's the part I want you to get. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. That's the challenge. I have seen it happen again and again in institutions and colleges and so forth where the president or the one who is leading the institution in the way it should go says, it's time for me to step aside and let the younger people take it because they understand young people. And I'm saying, no, 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 no. Stay in there. The young people are going to mess it up. They still need you. We still need you, older folks. We still need you. This is what is not happening in most churches. They're saying, let's get the older people out here because they still like the hymn books. They don't like the words up on the screen. So you guys, you can leave anytime you want. This is what is happening in so many churches. And I am saying, and I believe the Bible teaches, no, bring the older people in. With the younger kids. And you older people, you have a ministry. It's with these young ones. And I'm not just talking about the real little ones. I'm talking about me, my age. I'm still young, right? But there's the inclination to retire. There's secondly the inclination to recede. And this point comes, there comes a point when age causes a hindrance rather than a help in service. And I want you to go to Numbers chapter 8 with me on this one. There is a point, even biblically, when yes, the older need to kind of back out a little bit in certain areas. And this is one of those when it comes to physical labor. Numbers 8, verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more. However, verse 26, but shall minister. That word minister has the idea of assist or serve with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, but they shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their charge. What was important is that the older guys were still there assisting and teaching, saying, no, that's not the way you do it. Here's how you do it. No, you're going wrong there. No, you need to do it this way. They were still necessary. He remained to assist those still serving the younger. And so, this is my challenge. That the older, even when you can't do what you can physically like you used to, you still remain on as assistants. Then there's the inclination to resist. And I'm referring to the prodding of the Holy Spirit. And I'm referring to getting set in your ways. And no, we're not changing. We're not going to, okay, you guys are so set in your ways, it's time to bring the drums, it's time to bring, no. I'm not talking about that. When Stephen was preaching to the council of religious leaders, he concluded his message with this in Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Had nothing really to do with age. It had to do with a matter of the heart. And it can be that if you grow up that way, even in your old age, you get even worse. What I am saying tonight is this. You need to remember that you set an example to the younger as to what is important. And next Sunday night, Lord willing, I want to expand upon that very thing. Let me just give this example. During most invitations in a church, you know what the older folks are doing? They're praying for the kids and the teens to go forward in the invitation. And that gives the idea that when you reach a certain age, some unknown age, it's no longer important for you to go forward. I am not saying go forward so that you can prime the pump, so to speak, and so other people will come. No. But if God works in your heart just like he does in a young person's heart, a teenager's heart, or a child's heart, you respond. Maybe the reason we don't see young people dedicating their lives to God is because the older people aren't setting the example. And so I ask, why is it so rare to see sometimes? I don't think this is true in this church because I've seen it differently. But in most places, why is it rare to see an older person go forward during an invitation? Does God stop seeking or working in hearts at a certain age? Does that fire indeed go out? Or is it okay to give in to pride at a certain age, to resist the Holy Spirit at a certain age? Is it okay? Tonight we have Dr. Ron Van Hees' daughter and granddaughter here. If you haven't met them, I trust you'll meet them. But we've had Dr. Van Hee here. There's a man who just keeps going. And as long as he is able, has that fire. Retirement benefits should be for the Lord, not for yourself. I trust it's not true for us, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. To the older, I say this tonight, don't hand the battle to me while you're still alive. I'll pick it up when you die, if I'm even here. Joshua didn't take over until God said, Moses, my servant, is... He didn't say, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is retired. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, it's time for you to do the work. Some folks' obituary is already written out. It's complete because they won't be doing anything more that is worthwhile. They are retired, just waiting to die. And no wonder they do, sooner than others. Keep the flame of dedication burning, folks. Contrary to what is happening in a lot of churches, I value the older folks and your example to me and to the young people who are following. Your work is not done. And it never will be as long as you're able to walk in those doors. God still has a job for you. And boy, when I look at Psalm chapter 71 and I look at verse 18, God, don't forsake me. I still need to show your strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. That is your ministry. And praise God for you.